Do you smoke?
Well, yes, I must admit I smoke.
I'm glad to hear it. A man should always have an occupation of some kind. There are far too many idle men in London as it is. How old are you?
29.
A very good age to be married. I have always been of opinion that a man who desires to get married should know either everything or nothing. Which do you know?
I know nothing, Lady Bracknell.
I am pleased to hear it. I do not approve of anything that tampers with natural ignorance. Ignorance is like a delicate exotic fruit. Touch it and the bloom is gone. The whole theory of modern education is radically unsound. Fortunately, in England, at any rate, education produces no effect whatsoever. If it did, it would prove a serious danger to the upper classes and probably lead to acts of violence in Grosvenor Square. What is your income?
Between 7,000 and 8,000 a year.
In land or in investments?
In investments, chiefly.
That is satisfactory. What between the duties expected of one during one's lifetime and the duties exacted from one after one's death, land has ceased to be either a profit or a pleasure. It gives one position and prevents one from keeping it up. That's all that can be said about land.
I have a country house with some land, of course, attached to it. But about 1,500 acres, I believe. But I don't depend on that for my real income. In fact, as far as I can see, the poachers are the only people who make anything out of it.
A country house. How many bedrooms? Well, that point can be cleared up afterwards. You have a townhouse, I hope. A girl with a simple, unspoiled nature like Gwendolyn could hardly be expected to reside in the country.
Well, I own a house in Belgrave Square, but it is let by the year to Lady Bloxham. Of course, I can get it back whenever I like, at 6 months' notice.
Lady Bloxham. I don't know her.
Oh, she goes about very little. She's a lady considerably advanced in years.
Ah, nowadays, that is no guarantee of respectability of character. What number in Belgrave Square?
149.
The unfashionable side. I thought there was something. However, that could easily be altered.
Do you mean the fashion or the side?
Both. If necessary, I presume. What are your politics?
Well, I'm afraid I have none, really. I'm a liberal unionist.
Oh, they count as Tories. They dine with us. Or come in the evening, at any rate. Now to minor matters. Are your parents living?
I have lost both my parents.
To lose one parent, Mr. Worthing, may be regarded as a misfortune. To lose both looks like carelessness. Who was your father? He was evidently a man of some wealth. Was he born in what the radical papers call the purple of commerce, or did he rise from the ranks of the aristocracy?
I'm afraid I really don't know. The fact is, Lady Bracknell, I said I had lost my parents. It would perhaps be nearer the truth to say that my parents seem to have lost me. I don't really know who I am by birth. I was found.
Found?
The late Mr. Thomas Cardew, an old gentleman of a very kindly and charitable disposition, found me and gave me the name of Worthing because he happened to have a first-class ticket for Worthing in his pocket at the time. Worthing is a place in Sussex. It is a seaside resort.
Where did the charitable gentleman who had a first-class ticket for this seaside resort find you?
In a handbag.
A handbag?
Yes, Lady Bracknell, I was in a handbag. A somewhat large, black, leather handbag with handles to it. An ordinary handbag, in fact.
In what locality did this Mr. James or Thomas Cardew come across this ordinary handbag?
In the cloakroom at Victoria Station. It was given to him in mistake for his own.
The cloakroom at Victoria Station?
Yes, the Brighton line.
The line is immaterial.
From the days when so honored were the poets that they were allowed to wear four colors and encouraged, in fact, to wear whatever kind of clothes they thought the nicest, a state of things which I am sure I would wish to see revived for the benefit of modern poets. Well, from these idyllic days down to the evil times when the bards lurked with the outlaws in forest, glen, and mountain's cave, and lit with a fire of enthusiasm the hearts of the weak, or hurled at the oppressor their indomitable scorn, the poets were the lifeblood and the heartblood of Irish life. But the influence of Celtic poetry was not merely the primary basis of Irish politics, the keystone of Irish liberty. For to it, to the Celtic imagination, we owe nearly all the great beauties of modern literature. The poetic genius of the Celtic race never flags or wearies. It is as sweet by the groves of California as by the groves of Ireland, as strong in foreign lands as in the land which gave it birth. And indeed, I do not know anything more wonderful or more characteristic of the Celtic genius than the quick artistic spirit in which we adapted ourselves to the English tongue. The Saxon took our lands and left them desolate. We took their language and added a strange new beauty to it.